The independence. This is where we said, okay, Britain, we've had enough. We want to be represented. We want to be our own nation. And there's a couple of dates, three dates that kind of come into play. July the 2nd is when things were kind of solidified, and then there's August the 2nd when it went, August something, the early in the month, when they sent out the, let everybody know, they sent out this declaration. I'm going to read just a part of this, and then we're going to play another song. But we're going to stay with July 4th. I like the 4th. But this is just part of the Declaration of Independence. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth separate and equal station, to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. In other words, we're going to separate. It's not necessarily a clean business, but we're going to let you know why. We're going to make it clear, transparent. And then this next part is really powerful. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I like that. That's great. And even though there was some issues when we first started, we worked it out in 100 years or so. That all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them seem to be most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Our founding fathers were able to begin our country and create a constitution, Bill of Rights. We haven't had to alter. We've been pretty good, and as long as we stay the course, we will be good.
Sister Becky had a request that we play a song this morning, and so we're going to play that song and enjoy Let Freedom Ring.
And even life begins because a baby fights for freedom, and songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. Some have walked through fire and flood to find the place of freedom, and some faced hell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain. Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us to all be free and whole.
Thank you.
Faith, her vocal band. I looked at this real quick, and I think it's my favorite group because they change up members quite often. But this is the, to me, this is the number one of all the groups that he's put together. And I want to speak to you this morning about free indeed. I'm going to talk about sanctification. And sanctification happens once we're saved, and it continues on through our experience with the Lord. But it's a matter of being separated from the world and separated unto God. And we're going to read part of the doctrine of the Pentecostal Church of God. And, well, actually, we're going to read the whole sanctification part and then use the scripture that's there, and then we're going to add some scripture at the end. But sanctification is that the Bible teaches without holiness, no man can see the Lord. So when we're saved, we become holy. Not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has worked in our heart. I heard a teaching by Jimmy Swaggart this morning, and they got on this a little bit, and of course, the cross is the sanctifying force. I've got some other things I want to present along with our doctrine this morning, but without holiness. And the scripture for that is Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men. I think that's also important, to please God, follow peace with all men. There's been times I've not followed necessarily peace with all men because I've not been happy with someone and let them know real fast and maybe too harshly. And at times I've had to come back and apologize for that. But we need to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's Hebrews 12 and 14. The rest of the doctrine here is stated like this. We believe in the doctrine of sanctification as a definite yet progressive work of grace, commencing at the time of regeneration. When you're saved, most full gospel churches believe that you get a big dose of sanctification when you're saved. Separation from the world, separation unto God. And in that, there is great freedom from sin, because what God does in our life to sanctify us draws us closer to Him and further away from sin, and gives us a freedom that can be sustained forever. So we believe that you get a big dose of sanctification when you're saved, and it continues until the consummation of salvation, which is the rapture of the church, or that we pass on and we begin our eternity with the Lord. The scripture that we're going to read, and we're going to go back and forth. We don't start with John and end in the book of 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter, yep. But we're going to go Hebrews, 2 Thessalonians, so it goes back and forth. You can look it up, or you can do whatever. Your choice. Hebrews 13 and 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. In other words, he hung on the cross outside of the gates of Jerusalem, but he sanctifies us with his blood. So we're going to mention these things, and we're going to accumulate through these scriptures different ways that we're sanctified. The second is found in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. We don't believe in predestination, but we believe that all have been chosen, and those who make the right choice to serve God, then they're blessed, they're chosen. So those that are chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and of the belief in the truth. So here's two more ways of being sanctified: by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will sanctify us, and by our experience in the baptism of the Spirit, and he will apply the sanctification of all of the other means: the blood, the word, the truth, and the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And this sanctification is of the Spirit, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And we'll get them all together here in just a minute. We're going to Ephesians 5:26 next. Ephesians 5:26 says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. How many's ever been out? Maybe you've been camping, or you've been away out in the wilderness, and you've taken kind of a bath the best you can, but when you get home to the shower, the bath that you're used to, oh, how clean you feel. The Word of God has an ability to clean us up, to purify us, to sanctify us, to set us apart from the ugliness and the bondage of sin, and bring us closer to God and give us that relationship to where we don't want anything to do with sin. I've always tried to do the best I can to be sanctified and holy. When the doctor told me on January 31st I had leukemia, things ramped up a lot. You talk about things that don't matter. You don't want to get even with people. That goes. You don't want to keep a grudge. You don't want anything to do with sin, because you want all of God you can get, both for his healing power and for the fact that if you're not healed, you want to see Jesus. I'd hate for anybody to hear those words that, and I'll tell you what, the doctor that shared that with us was the worst bedside manners I've ever seen in my life. I despise the way he shared it because of the effect on Debbie. But, and it wasn't too great for me either, but we had an oncologist that soothed our spirits and gave us hope. And we love her to pieces, Dr. Dudia. We love her to pieces because she was so sweet. I want to go on to 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And it says, and such were some of you. What Paul is speaking of is there was a bunch of people or people that had done wrong. And he said, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he lists them. There's a big list. The list is pretty bad. A lot. Anything that's ugly, anything that's sin is listed there. And then Paul says, and such were some of you. You were that way. Let me read those so that we're perfectly clear. Let me find it here. Oh, I'm in 7. That makes a huge difference. I got it, son. Thank you. Thank you for your help, because I was lost. Know not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Boy, why do they put those right close together? Because those are very close words. Idol worshippers and adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why did I read those? Because I love the fact that all sin is covered by the blood, by the word, by the spirit, and by the name of Jesus. But ye are washed. You were like that. I was like that. I was saved when I was 8, so I didn't get too deep into sin. But I was a sinner, and I needed salvation. But you're washed, you're sanctified, but you are justified. That means all guilt is gone. You're justified. As some have said, just as if I had never sinned. Kind of a take on that, justified. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then John 17:17, where Jesus is praying for the church, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want us to make sure that we understand there's a lot of people that have what they call is their truth. And if their truth is not based on the living word of God, it's nothing. I've heard people talk about establishing a religion or a way they find God. God tells you how to find him. And there's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus came and died on a cross out in front of everybody. And he resurrected. That was kind of done secretly, but he revealed himself for 40 days. Okay, I'm here, I'm alive, I want to tell you to go. Get in, go to Jerusalem, and get ready for the Holy Spirit. So Jesus made it very clear. This last verse, I think, is awesome. That's part of this, and then we're going to go on to another part of John. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and it says, the very God of peace. Peace has been mentioned several times in this. Peace, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. That's completely, wholly. Holy. And I pray God, your whole That means all of you. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is not for part of you, it's for all of you, soul, body, and spirit. I've heard people say, as long as my spirit is sanctified, doesn't matter what my body does. That's not what God said. That's not what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. He said, you better altogether be sanctified. You must altogether be set apart. And your whole, all of your spirit, all of your soul, all of your body, all of your spirit, which is all things spiritual, your soul, which takes in the mind and the depth of who you are, and the body preserved blamelessly until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctified, like I said, means set apart from sin and set apart unto holiness. When I was younger, we had in our little community in Kentucky, we had a lot of churches. We had a church about every quarter of a mile. For the most part, they were Baptist and Pentecost. They called it Pentecost holiness. I'm okay with that. There used to be a story that would go about saying that the Baptist church on one side of the road would be singing, "Are there any stars in my crown?" And on the other side, the Pentecostal church would be singing, "No, not one." And I imagine if you were Baptist, you'd change that around and it would be the way you want it to be. But we all that are born again are going to make it to heaven. And there will be stars in our crowns if you're born again, sanctified by the blood of Christ, by the precious blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, that great fountain, the amazing grace that brought a slave ship captain to his face before God and said, "I have sinned, I have done wrong by imprisoning other human beings." And wow, did he ever know amazing grace, because God extended into his life a forgiveness for something that is so awful and so horrible. Amazing grace, the blood of Christ. The truth is absolutely the Word of God from Genesis through Revelations. That is the whole Word of God. Someone called into the Francis show, Francis Schweigert, and asked, "Do you guys believe in the Book of Enoch?" I've heard of the Book of Enoch. I don't think I've ever seen it wholly, maybe, you know, excerpts of it. But they said, "No, we don't believe in it. We believe in Genesis to Revelations, the whole Word of God." And the Holy Spirit sanctifies. I want to make sure that I make it clear. Separately from the truth, the Word of God, the blood, we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit is the mechanic, or the one that sanctifies us with the blood and the Word. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. And the name of Jesus, the precious name of Jesus. I don't want to limit sanctification to this. There's probably other things as well, but these are the main elements of our sanctification. These are the main elements of our freedom. We're free indeed because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. I'm going to illustrate this with Jesus is our Savior, baptizer, sanctification. Jesus. He wanted to draw the Jews into the same freedom. And they were resistance. Scripture said, I came into my own and my own received me not. I'm glad we received him, aren't you? John chapter 8, verses 30 through 40. And he spake these words, as he spake these words, rather, many believed him. And then Jesus said unto the Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, and my word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. My mind started spinning. I said, what? You guys haven't been in bondage to anyone? Come on. How can you say you will be made free? This is their response to Jesus when he offered them freedom. We've got Abraham. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. You have Abraham and you're sinners. What good is that doing? A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Now look at that. Sometimes people don't like us. They may even say something nasty to us. Okay, big deal. But they want to kill you? That's a serious deal. And Jesus was very vocal about how can you be the seed of Abraham and the descendants of Abraham and have Abraham as your hero and as the one you believe in, and you want to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Understand, Jesus was not talking about Abraham. And they answered and said, Abraham is our father. Then Jesus said unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Now, a little bit later on in this chapter, Jesus said, your father's the devil. And then later on, they come back and said, we believe that you're a Samaritan and that you're of the devil. And Jesus said, I am most certainly not of the devil. I am of my Father. Abraham was a friend of God. Father Abraham, he was a friend of God. And he would delight in when he saw Jesus coming to earth to redeem Israel. It was delightful to Abraham. But these people wanted to reach back. Number one, they had been under bondage to the Egyptians and Syrians, Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and now they were under the thumb of Rome. They had been bound by man. More importantly, they were bound by the devil in their spirit right now because they did not recognize God sending his Son to save them from their sins. They wanted to go back to Abraham. Not even that's 2,000 years before Jesus was teaching them. They didn't go back 1,500 years to Moses that brought the law, or even about 1,100 years to David the king, the one that had a lot of people had great respect for. They wanted to go back to Abraham as a cover for the devil being their father. By them choosing to serve Satan. And Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Right now you're still under bondage. And I'm so thankful that we have said, yes, Lord, yes. Your will and your way, we want to be obedient to you. My songs this week are, Debbie, you want to come to the piano? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song will rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. We went to a oneness church, World of Pentecost in Austin, to listen to Phil Driscoll. And Phil Driscoll sang this song in that church. He played it and he sang it. And I thought, brother, do you realize where you're at? But he did it. He did it with the anointing of the Lord. And then the next verse is, holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful men thy glory may not see. This was the Jews. They could not see the glory of the Lord. Only thou art holy, there's none beside thee, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Debbie and I were walking from Union Square towards Chinatown. In San Francisco, we were taking a weekend off to rest, and she had a vendor that she wanted to meet her, and we stayed in a hotel in Union Square, which is a very noisy place. And we were walking up this hill, and we heard music like a brass band, and we walked. They were playing Holy, Holy, Holy. We walked over the hill and we met a funeral procession that was coming along, and they were playing that song. And I thought, wow, that sounds good. We heard worship music in Hawaii and we joined the little group. I think that was Maui. What a beautiful, you talk about a beautiful place to hear worship of the Lord. Beautiful place. One more song. Just like fire shut up in my bones. Just like fire shut up in my bones. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like fire shut up in my bones. Let's pray. And then we're going to pray for any needs that you have. Precious Savior, we honor you today. You've made us free. We're sanctified. We're set apart from the world, from sin, from the evil of this world, and set apart unto you. We're born again. We're saved, sanctified, and filled with your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to everyone today. Even though we're sanctified, we still have needs. We still need you. In a mighty way, we need you. By your Holy Spirit, bring deliverance right now in Jesus' name to your church. A touch, a touch. Lord, you see the mountain that's so high. Not by might now, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, that this mountain will come down and you'll walk in a straight, flat plain. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, minister to your people. We care and we love each one in the church, but we can't do what you can do. Only you can bring deliverance, salvation, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance from any bondage. We pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to have prayer for you. Donnie, can you help me out? I like that guitar. That's pretty. That's beautiful. Would you pray for Mom? Debbie's been sick the last couple of days. Pray that God will touch her. Holy God. Holy God. Jesus, touch Debbie. Give her strength, oh Lord. Take away all that, Lord, weakens her body. I honor you, Lord. I honor you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus, for your healing power. Hallelujah. Lord, bless Debbie. Lord, touch her, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Donnie, would you pray for Sister Watson? She got put off with her doctor's appointment until this week. Pray that God will touch her, be with her. Lord Jesus, your mercy, touch Sister Watson. Give her your strength. Lord, I pray for mercy right now. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy, mercy. Shalalalama kanda lididididia sanda. Holy God. 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 Holy God, holy God, holy God. Yaradidio sandaladidia. Anyone else like prayer? If you want prayer today, we want to pray for you. Praise God. Joyce, you want to? Okay. Your aunt?
My arm.
Oh, your arm. I'm sorry. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll touch Joyce this morning, that you'll bring healing to her arm. You're a merciful God, a merciful God. Take away, Lord, all the pain and all, Lord Jesus, that's binding her to move and to Use this arm, Lord, with all of our strength. I pray for your tender grace. I pray for your tenderness and your grace today. Your mighty God, everlasting Father, and you are Prince of Peace. You are Prince of Peace. You are Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name, bring healing, tender mercy. Holy God, anyone else? Oh, Evan, come here. What do you need?
He's got a cold.
Oh, what is it, the cold? Jesus, we pray that you'll touch Evan and take away this cold. Lord, that you'll give him strength, healing. Healing, oh Lord God, that he won't cough, that he won't, Lord, suffer this cold, but Lord, that you'll bring a healing to his body right now. You're merciful and you're mighty. You're merciful and you're mighty. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray that you'll touch Brother Ernie today, Lord, with your tender mercy and your strength. You're a mighty God, and we look to you. We look to you, Lord Jesus, for your power, your help. Lord, your amazing help and your tenderness. You're so merciful and mighty. Give Sister Barbara strength. Thank you for your tenderness. Thank you for your mercy. In impossible times and situations, Holy Spirit of God, bring comfort and mercy and your power. We need you, and we thank you and give you glory. Amen. Amen. Anyone else before we leave? We're thankful for you. Thankful for you. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for your prayers. The strength of our church is praying for each other. Because we all have needs. We all have situations. Let's have a special prayer for Sister Melva today. Lord, we pray that you'll touch Sister Melva. Give her your strength and your power. Help her, Lord. You're able, Lord God, and we praise you. Touch Brother Henry. He's got several issues going. Some of those things are very difficult, but your mighty God, bring healing to him, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Alamakiri and the Lady Osanda, Jesus. God bless you. Hope you have a great week in the Lord. That the peace of God that passes all understanding will dwell in you, because we need that. We need that. In Jesus' name. God bless you. As we used to say, shake hands and be friendly. Problem with that? We're good.